I'd like to introduce our speaker. I believe he's coming with a powerful message this morning. Those of you know Pastor Jacob, one time I asked Pastor Jacob, "Pastor Jacob, how do you give a whole message without an iPad or a laptop?" And he said, "I do that for a living." He's a teacher. But I don't believe that. I believe that's a gift. That's a gift. So can we welcome up Pastor Jacob?
I actually got a laptop today. My message is too complicated for me to do it without it today. Right, praise the Lord. Good morning. Just wanted to tell you a little more detail about what I'm going to do while I'm gone. I'm actually going to travel to Washington, D.C. area in the Virginia side, and I am actually go down to Georgia for and then travel down to Alabama for 3 states. And the things that I'm going to do actually is going to be, try to prepare a conference for the North Korea. And so Pastor Lim and I went to different churches throughout the years, but Lord Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, it's time for us to create a conference for many different churches around the area. And give them awareness of North Korea. So we go actually going to do that by bringing many different churches in the Northern Virginia side. And I'm going to go down to Atlanta, Georgia area. And I'm actually going to speak for their retreat for about 2 days. And while I'm doing that, I'm going to I already have an appointment with a senior pastor there in that church. And talk about bringing Pastor Lim and some of the North Korean refugees and all those people to become and having a conference next year, March. And so I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to drive over to Alabama, where Les is living, and he have a couple of acres of land there. And then Pastor Miller invite me to be a speaker on Sunday, and I told Pastor Miller, I said, "Can you bring together some of the churches in Alabama to create the conference for North Korea awareness next year?" And he said he would love to do that. And so I'm going to go there to talk to them. So meanwhile, I have a chance to see my grandson, Jonathan, too, okay, for a couple of days. So I'm really excited about that. And so my grandson and granddaughter. And so God is making headway in that direction. So please pray for me. That's all. I know that I have a team in place, and Pastor Lim is eager to come, and he have his team in place to help me out. But I need a lot of prayer and direction from the Lord to do the whole thing. And I am so thankful that I have a Daughter of Faith movement is back of me, and to pray for me. And I know that you guys, as I share this with you, that you are praying for me in that direction. So I am really covet your prayer and covet for this to be done. So right now, Lily's went to Korea, spending a couple of weeks there with the friends in North Korea, in the South Korea area, and with the James Kang. And then she's actually gonna go over to Japan Mission and spend time with the Japan Mission. And she tried to link together with James Kang's ministry with Japan Mission. So all this, you know, the things that we are doing right now, it's not in vain. God is actually putting it all together, you know, and for his purpose and for his glory. And so I am just thankful for, you know, the things that I don't know what God, what's going to happen, why God want me to do it. But when I do it and obey, it makes sense. It's like, oh, God is doing this, and he's doing it by connecting it, the dots together in that way. So I just wanted to ask you guys to please pray. We have incredible plan for the Shoto mission trip that I am talking to missionaries and I'm talking to the elders about. So please pray for you guys to come to join us and for this Shoto mission trip. And so we are venturing to go to Thailand. I just talked to Tony, and Tony's all excited that we are actually sending a mission team from Doro Faith and to helping him out in that direction. And of course, he's going to help us out tremendously. And so he's all excited about that. And the people of the team that who's willing to come to Japan, they're all excited about for us to be there for Japan mission. And then we are actually going over to Korea for about 3 days. And you guys have a chance to see Brother James Kang's ministry in first-handed and Pastor Lim's ministry in first-handed. And then go to DMZ. There's a church that Pastor Lim actually pastor. I don't know. He pastored a couple of churches. Pastor in the right in the front of DMZ. Right? Like, you know, you got the churches right in the front. The next time, after a couple of miles, is the North Korea. And so they actually have that church there. And we are praying to go to that church and to have a chance to pray for North Korea by looking at it and a chance to pray for that church there. So please, please prayerfully come and join us. And it will be not just fun, but exciting. I really believe that God's going to do something powerful. Okay? And so, you know, and I know that God will provide the way for you guys if you come and join us with faith. And so please come and join us and see what God will do. So I'm going to kind of put together some of the messages that I want to talk to you about what is going on today. About that, but it's also about a very thing about this short mission trip linked to that. Okay, so let's do that. Let's pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you. We praise you and worship you. And I ask you, Father God, that you will touch the hearts and life of all of us. And God, speak to us, Lord God, through this message, Father God. And I ask you, Father God, that you will do incredible work in our hearts and our life. And Lord God, and touch and Lord God, speak to us in such a way, Father God, that we will start to understand what is going on around this world today. And we understand, Father God, that what God is doing, God, we will flow with the Holy Spirit. And we will not go against him, but we will obey him. And we will be direct by him. And we will be part of that big picture that you are drawing. And Lord God, you will, Lord God, we will be touched by your Holy Spirit, Father God. I ask you, Lord God, that you would do that in the heart and life of all of us, Father God. We love you, God. We thank you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. Amen. When you look at, can you turn on the PowerPoints, please? When you look at my title of my message is The Cup of the Wrath of God. And so when you look at this title, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, he's going to preach about the last days and, you know, judgments and everything else. Well, actually, it's not that bad, okay? So I want you guys to really relax and really hear what the Lord really have to say. So, you know, when you look at the world today, you see so many things are going on. And especially in the United States right now, you know, we are going at it to Iran. And so what is our position supposed to be as a Christian? What are we need to think about? What can we do as all these things are going on as a Christian? So that's the kind of things that I really want to talk about. So let's go to the Genesis chapter 15, verse 16. And here, the whole context of this passage is about Abraham and giving a worship unto the Lord on the altar. And then the Lord starts speaking to him and told him about the prophecy about the generation to come. So when he prayed and seeking the Lord, God gave him an actual, God directly talked to him about what's going to happen to his generation. And here in verse 16 says, in the fourth generation, your descendant will come back here. Talking about the promised land in the Canaanite. For the sin of the Amorite has not yet reached its full measure. Now this is very strange because what the Lord is saying is this. Lord said, hey, your descendant is going to come over here and it's going to be kind of weighed around this area. But they're not going to go fully into the promised land yet because the Amorites has not yet reached the full measure of their sin. What is God talking about here? It took him 400 years and God hold him, the Israelite, in Egypt for 400 years, the fourth generation. And God said, hey, I'm not going to let it go. Okay? And because the sin of Amorites, okay, has not been fully, okay, a full measure. Now, I got to ask some questions here about the Bible. You know, we say that God is God of love. Is that right? And he is. Bible talks about Jesus said that, right? But when you really look at the Old Testament, he said, what are we going to do with the incident and situation that talks about the Noah's flood? So you guys know that during the time of Noah's flood, before the flood, there's a people living up to 900 years. They had a baby all the way up to 800 years. And I look at all of them. It's if they had baby all the way up to 800 years, per couple, they had 150 babies, conservatively speaking. So can you guys imagine that you multiply that by for five generations, you get over 10 billion people in the earth. God wiped everybody away except one family. How are you going to explain that? I thought God is God of love. Now, when you look at the whole situation about Israelite, when God said, when Israelites go into promised land, he told Joshua this. He said, Josh, when you go into the promised land, I want you to wipe away everybody there, including children and animals, and kill them all. Anybody who worshiped the idol, kill them all. Wow. I thought God is God of love. So when you look at this, you have to look at the Bible, not just that part, but you got to look at the Bible as whole, as what God is really saying in the context. Amen? And when you're looking at the context, you start to understand what God is doing in his life. Yeah. In his plan. And so let's talk about that a little bit more. So when you look at the Bible in the context, there's a two kinds of cup that God talking about in the Bible. Number one, I will talk about the positive side, okay? There's a cup of blessing, okay? In Psalm 23:5 talks about it. It said, my cup runs over. Amen? So whenever that you guys are coming together with the Lord and seeking the face of God, what is God doing? God gives you what? Cup of blessing. And that, so whatever that you do it for the Lord, whatever that you seek the face of God, guess what? Your blessings start to pour into that cup. And that's what David is talking about. He said, my cup runs over. And you know, one of the things that I talked, throughout the Bible, it talks about that whenever the judgment about to come, God used the word, because of my servant David. You look all those Bible verses he's talking about there. He said, nevertheless, very first part, for the sake of your father David, I will not do it in your lifetime. Yet I will not tear the whole kingdom from him, but will give him one tribe for the sake of David, my servant. In the second part, he said, verse 15, 4 said, nevertheless, for the David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem by raising up a son to succeed him and by making Jerusalem strong. Verse 19, 34, 2 Kings. I will defend this city and save it for my sake and for the sake of my servant David. Talking about every single time there was a danger for the nation of Israel about to be crumbled down, for the kingship will go down. God can't come in, and he comes through, and he always say this way. He said, because of my servant David, I am going to defend for you. I am going to touch your life. I am going to do something powerful. You know what I'm trying? You know what I think when I look at all that? I think this. He said, I really believe there is a saving account in heaven. So I'll call it a saving account in heaven. You know, Bible talks about it this way. It said, put up your treasure in heaven. And whenever they view are what? Seeking the Lord, doing the things for God. You are what? Putting the treasure in heaven. And one day that you could take that saving account out and say, God, I know my son have not done something right. I know my child have not done something right. But God, have mercy on them. For the sake of the things that I have done through you, Lord. And when you're looking at that, I see those kind of things. Okay? And there's a saving account in heaven. I say, well, so I wanted to ask you some of the points. What do you want for your child to inherit? Whenever that you pray, whenever you treasure, invest in heaven. You know, Pastor John talks about paying tithe. And giving money unto to the Lord. I want you guys to understand that, no, my God is not poor. God does not need your money. But God needs your heart. And whenever that you come, and whenever that you give unto the Lord, you are putting a saving account into heaven. And God sees that. And you know what? The prayer that you pray and seek the Lord when you come up here, you know, God hears that. And whenever you come on Sunday or Saturday, you know, spending time on the small group or leading a small group and, you know, heart for those lost, reaching out to the homeless people, God sees that. And guess what? He will put that in the treasure in heaven. And one day you're going to need that saving account to be released. I look at my children. I look at my life. And I ask the Lord, I say, God, I'm going to serve you however capacity that you want me to serve. And you, if you want me to be a pastor, you want me to be a missionary, one of the things that, Lord, is that I'm going to be lack of finance. I don't have money. They don't pay me that much. What am I supposed to do? And I remember one day, I was praying that kind of prayer in First Assembly, in the early morning prayer, going up and down the aisle and praying and seeking the Lord. And one day, God was so mad at me. Do you guys ever heard God's angry voice? God always say very nicely and very patient, but that morning, he wasn't very nice. He spoke to me very sternly, and he said this, I want you to know that you are not under the payroll of First Assembly. You are under my payroll. And I will provide it for you. You know what he did? I said, oh, thank you, God. I understand what you're saying. And you know what? From then on, I didn't question him. I just served him. And when I served him, I'm going to tell you, all three of my children graduated from college, went through the school without any debt. They are more richer than I am because they have more thicker saving account than I do. I said, and when I look at that, I said, God, yes, you're right. You're always right. Amen. Whenever that you guys are serving God, you can never outgive the Lord. Amen. You can never outgive God. He will pay you back, not just with money, but through your children, through the situation, many different ways. You can never outgive God. I am so glad I am serving Him. I am so glad I'm serving Him. So that's a cup of blessing. Cup of blessing that God is talking about. But there's another cup that it talks about in the Bible. It's a cup of wrath. Genesis 6:3 says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever. For he is indeed flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. This is talking about right before Noah's flood. Do you guys know that? God have dealt with mankind before the Noah's flood for 969 years or more. Because God gave a message to Enoch, who, what, worshiped the Lord for what? He had Methuselah for an age of 65. And from then on, he served God for 300 years that God took him. So when you really look at the whole scenario very carefully, that you see Methuselah means that they that died, there will be a missile came out from heaven. That's what he literally said. That's his meaning of his name. And so when Enoch had him, God gave him a revelation that there will be a flood that coming as a judgment. So from Enoch down to Noah, God gave a warning to the whole mankind that there will be a what? A judgment that coming to this land. For 900, see, the person who lived the longest before the flood was Methuselah, 969 years. And for 969 years, God was giving them a warning. And for 120 years, God asked Noah to build the ark. So they didn't just have a verbal warning, they had a physical warning. For all the mankind to see that God's going to judge this land. So let me ask you this question. Whose fault is that? A God who warned them for 969 years and give them a mercy for them to be spared? Or people who didn't listen to him for 969 years? You guys understand what I'm saying? Here is the God who gave them a chance and we didn't listen. And then when you look at it in Romans chapter 24 and 28, you say this, therefore God gave them over in the sinful desire of their hearts to sexual impurity for degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God to a lie and the worship and serve creatures things rather than creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Verse 26, he said, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their woman exchanged a natural sexual relation to unnatural ones. Verse 27, in the same way, the man also abandoned natural relationship with a woman and were inflamed with the lust for the one another. Man committed shameful acts with other men and received themselves due penalty for their errors. Furthermore, just as they did this, not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind, so they do what ought not to be done. You know what this is saying? He's saying God plead with them. God told them and give them a chance, but when they harden their heart and they want to do what they want to do, God gave them over to their desire. Scary thing. But once God gave you warning, but you harden your heart, then God said, okay, if you want that, I will just give it to you more. So it's a cup of wrath. Whenever that you serve the things outside of God's will, you're pouring it into that cup of wrath. And once that is overflow, that reaches the judgment of God. But for that process, it takes a long time for that judgment to come. But once that judgment comes, then you have to face that. And so we have to really awaken in this time. Say, oh my goodness, where am I? Am I pouring myself into the cup of blessing? Or am I pouring myself in the cup of wrath? What am I doing for our children, our children's children in this time? So let's talk about today's world, you know. I say all this to apply for what is going on with Iran. What does Iran regime believe ever since they changed to a radical Muslim regime? Iran ruling establishment rooted in the 12 Shiite theology believe that end of the world is triggered by return of hidden imam. This event is accelerated by violent apocalypse scenario, including that liberation of Jerusalem, destruction of Israel, and confrontation with Western power. You know what they're saying? They say if you're creating apocalyptic destruction toward to Israel, to bigger Satan, to United States, then we will have this imam who will come back to us, will have those fulfillment of their prophecy to come. That's their theology. So what do? So what they do based on the threat? So far, they support a proxy malicious terror organization, arming the training proxies. Iran provided weapons and funding, training various groups. Hezbollah, Iran is the primary sponsor of Hezbollah. And Hamas and Islamic Jihad, Iran supplies the financial, political, and military supports to these groups, including funding the attacks against Israel. Okay? All those things that they did throughout the nation and throughout the world. And how many of the people, Americans, that they have killed and bring out the hostage. I remember 1977 when I came to the United States, there was hostage, 120-some hostages, they hold down American hostages for what? For a year and a half until Reagan administration comes about. All those things that they have done, you know what we did throughout the years in our United States? We kicked the can down the line. Maybe if we do this, if we appease them this way, and while they're doing it, they're planning to create a nuclear bomb to destroy the whole world. Hello? Why so quiet here? Am I telling the truth? And we had one president even give them $1 billion. Or bribe them. Maybe you could bribe them. And they took the money and they prolonged the time and do, what do? They build up the more nuclear bomb. So I want you guys to understand and know. So let's go on to all those things that they have done here. So international assassination, terror plots, okay? Plot against Donald Trump, all those things, they have done it throughout the years. So they get hold of nuclear bomb and they will use it based on their belief. And we, as United States, have enough power to do something about it. And we didn't do anything about it for all this far. You know, throughout the history of the United States, God gave us a right person for such a time as this. Did you guys know that? During World War II, God gave us General MacArthur. He gave us Eisenhower. He gave us General Patton. To able to defeat the Nazi, able to defeat the evil, so we could have freedom. We could free and the atrocity they have to do to the Jewish people. We were able to free it because of we had the right person. And we have to do something, okay, to create a peace once again in this world. You know what we call this? Peace through strength. Did you know there is a same principle of peace through strength in the Bible? I found this out and I was sharing it to my left friends, you know. Did you know that? Let me tell you. Did you know when you look at the Bible, we have Satan, right? What does Satan want us to do to your life? He said he will what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Why can he not do it to you right now? Why can he not? I mean, he does some. Well, why can he do it full on to your life right now? You know, if we have his own way, he wanted to demolish you. He wanted to give you most miserable things that you could ever receive in your life. He wanted to do that to your life. Why can he not do it? Do you know why? Because God is there to stopping it. And you know what? God right now allows some of the things to happen. Because you know why? Because God is waiting some people to come to Christ. But God is fully under control. Do you know why? Because God is way more stronger than Satan. And the only reason why Satan cannot do it is because God is stronger. And he have a strength. And out of God's strength, we have a peace. And one day, God's going to bring down his judgment upon Satan. Bible talks about it this way. In Revelation, there will be a seven-year tribulation that will come. And you know what? Antichrist will, and he will start reign on this earth, and there will be a hell on this earth. And it's going to happen for 7 years. When you look at the book of Revelation, two-thirds of the book of Revelation talks about that. And all those things were happening, but at the very end, we call it the last battle, called Armageddon, that Jesus will come back with the church and the angels. And he will wipe away all those evil on this world. And he will reign on this earth for 1,000 years. Amen. So all my kids, I'm a school teacher, so they all ask me when all these Iran things were happening. They ask me this question. He said, Pastor Hong, how are we going to have World War III? I said, nope. I can't assure of that. That we are not going to have a World War III. He said, what do you mean? How do you know that? He said, when you look at the Bible, that when the church is taken away, and that's when Antichrist will appear. In Thessalonians, talks about that. And then, when you look at all those four horsemen and everything else that talk about in the book of Revelation, and then there will be a third world, World War III will happen. And all those nuclear bombs and all those things is symbolized in Revelation. And that will happen. They will kill one-third of the people in the around the world, one-third of the vegetation. All those things happen. That's World War III, I really believe. And that will not happen until church is taken away and until the Antichrist will come. And he will be the one who will start the World War III. I know you. Some of you might not have different eschatology than mine, but mine is better than yours. Because you know why? Because hey, you don't want to go through the revelation, the tribulation. Believe mine, okay? So what I'm trying to tell you is this, guys: peace, strength, principle exists in the Bible, and sometimes you know what? Whenever prepare for the war, that's how you prevent the war. And sometimes in order for you to what? To when you destroy the bad actors, you could prevent the infections that go through the whole body of this world. So these days, today, God gave us President Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu for us to do what God wanted them to do. You know, you guys all know, okay, our whole entire southern border were open for 4 years. That itself, what he have done, the prior president, itself is impeachable. He's the one that created invasion to our nation. And President Trump is the one that stopped it and doing his best to creating a peace through strength throughout the world. So what can we do as a Christian? What time is it right now? Do I have much time? Oh my goodness, it's not even 11:30. Are you kidding me, guys? Okay. All right, so what can we do? What must a Christian do, okay, in this time? Number one, pray for our nation so we may repent and wrath of God will not come upon us. You know, I just want you to know this. We have killed 62 million babies. Yeah. How many? 66 now? Oh my goodness. And you know, from the time when 1973, that it was all, the Roe versus Wade approved the abortion all the way until now, we have killed that many babies. You think God will just turn around his head and say, it's okay, I like the United States, so I'm not going to judge them. It's not going to happen that way, guys. Only reason why our nation is not judged is because there's still a lot of people who's crying out before God and seeking the face of God on behalf of our nation. And I pray that we are the one of them and prevent and holding the judgment of the Lord to fulfill what God wants us to do in this nation. So we need to pray for the next generation that they will not be hit by the judgment of the Lord or delay it. Number two, we to pray for the nation of Iran. God will use these moments to evangelize the people of Iran. I heard that there is 1 million underground churches exist in Iran. You guys know that the nation of Iran, okay, weren't always Muslim. Muslim regime took over in the 1970s. But he wasn't always Muslim. And you know, there's a lot of young people do not like Muslims anymore. And so they are underground and a lot of them is becoming Christian. And you know, we need to pray that God will bring out those underground churches and touching the life of Iranian people and making a difference in their nation. God is making a chance for them to come to the Lord right now. Amen? And we need to pray for that. Number three, church must respond to call of God to go and make a difference in place like Iran. You know, during the time of the end of the World War II, when MacArthur took charge of Japan, okay, you see this, he requests a couple of things. He said, key detail regarding the MacArthur's request to effort. He said, missionary requests. MacArthur asked for 1,000 missionaries, some cited thousands, in various reports to assist rebuilding the nation. He asked for Bible distribution. He encouraged the shipment of 10 million Bibles to Japan. Support for education. He supported the establishment of Christian educational institutions such as International Christian University. So MacArthur believed true democracy can exist only on a spiritual foundation. And it felt that Christianity provided that basis. Right now, we have the same scenario pretty much with the Iran situation. And you know what? Back then, church did their best, but they didn't do it enough. That's why Japan is still what? 0.5% Christian. But guys, if we can capture the heart of Iranian people, if we can turn over the Iranians, guess what's going to happen? If they ever become a Christian nation again, in a powerful way, then we have a chance to go all over Middle East and touching the nations of Middle East there. God is giving us that chance. So we must pray. He said, God, and we must go whenever God spoke us to go. It started with what? The short-term mission trip this summer. Amen? Can we do that? I know some of you guys say, Pastor Hong, I got this going on. My business, this going on. I'm only asking for 1 week. 7 days. I know you guys take vacation. I hope you do. Take a vacation there. I'm going to make this thing very easy for you. Okay? I'm pleading to Tony. Say, don't let us eat red. Don't let us go there. Okay? Hey, let's make this thing easy for the people. Okay? Let's make this thing. Let's go there and see what God is doing. Maybe from that kind of scenario, Holy Spirit can speak to you and do something in your heart. If we don't stand up. You see, guys, I love President Trump for what he has done, but it's not enough. We have to stand up as a church. We have to be the one who need to be on our knees and pray. We are the one who have to speak to the Lord and say, God, what do you want us to do? And when we stand up, when we go forth, then God will do something powerful. The other day, Pastor John was talking about John Wesley. Did you guys know that one man's call of God, answer to the call of God? You know, when all other European nations was having a revolution, like French Revolution was going on and all those things are going on. And all those things were going on. And all entire European nation was in chaos. Great Britain was having revival. God was doing shaking of that nation. And they become a prosperous nation as they are. It's because of that one man's answer to the call of God. And out of John Wesley's Wesleyan revival came about UK. And you know what, guys? God has done incredible things for this nation. And I really believe that it's not over yet. I really believe that God has more stuff that he needs to do. Or he wouldn't provide us, President Trump, for such a time as this. If he did, it's time for the church to act. We need to raise up and say, God, we will do what you say you want us to do. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Can we all stand? Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. Can somebody turn on the music? Or? Hallelujah. I just wanted to pray. There's so much going on in this world right now. Hallelujah, God. But you know, the prayer, the things that we do in a prayer makes a difference. I think one of the Hadassah came the other day, and she said this, you know, Pastor, I'm being trained for being a missionary. And then they spoke to me and said, prayer is God's air force in the military. You know, what are we doing right now, guys, in Iran? We did not send any foot soldiers. We're sending tons and tons of bombers. And they're shooting down all those enemies from the air. And when we start praying, we are throwing the God's power at those demonic spirits that are holding down that nation right now. And God's going to do something powerful in the hearts and life of people who are there. So, daughter of faith, brothers and sisters, can we just do that right now? Can we just pray right now? Pray for the nation of Iran. Pray for our president, Trump, who's going through so much right now. Pray for our people, our church to rise, that God will do something powerful in their hearts and our people right now. Can we just do that right now? Hallelujah. Come on, guys. Let's just do that right now. Let's lift our hand. Let's worship the Lord. Let's praise God. Kararaya shandara bakasiki. Oh, we worship you, God. Oh, we praise you, Lord God. I ask you, Father God, that you will touch the hearts and life of Father God. Oh, God, the Iranian people, Father God, right now, that you will do something powerful in the hearts and life of them, Lord God. May you, Father God, to open the doors, Father God. Maybe, Lord God, raising up the Iranian people, Father God, who are Christians, Father God, who will be boldly speak out of the things of God, who boldly, Lord God, stand for the righteousness of God, Father God. Touch them, Father God. Touch them, Lord God. Oh, Raria Shadarabariya Kassandarabariya Siki. God, I pray, Father God, for our President Trump. Lord God, as we're going through all those situations right now, you are God who can do all things. I ask you, Lord God, you protect him and you touch him. Lord God, you will do incredible things through him, Lord God. Yes, Lord God. Yes, Lord God. Oh, Jesus, we worship you. Jesus, we thank you. God, we pray for our nation, Lord, that our nation will not go into the way of destruction. Lord God, I could see our nation went through, Lord God, I harden our hearts against you, Father God. Lord God, we allow, Father God, sin of homosexualities, transgenderism, and all those things are, Lord God, coming in our nation, Father God. Lord, I pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. That we will not go to the way that you want us to go, Lord Jesus. But God, turn around. Lord, let the church arise once again. Let the church arise once again. Lord, let the revival start happening once again. The hearts and life of the people, Lord God, that we will not afraid to speak out against the unrighteousness. We will not speak out, Father God, against all those things, Father God. But we will obey your voice, Father God. That we will go wherever that you want us to go. We will do whatever that you want us to do for the things that you want us to do, Lord God. Hallelujah. We worship you. We praise you, God. We thank you. Father, we just want to thank you. Lord God, we thank you for your words. We thank you, Father God, that we will not on the side of the cup of wrath, but God, we will on the side of the cup of blessing, that we will prepare for our next generation, that we will take out the saving account that we have put upon heaven, and so we will ask you, Father God, to have mercy upon the next generation. And to generation to come, Lord God, for them to, Father God, to serve you, put their face, turn around towards you, and do the things that you want us to do, Lord. God, we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Jacob. Give him a round of applause, will you? What a great message. Thank you, Pastor Jacob. Sheila Bucko. Would you be seated for just a moment, please? Normally, we run service until about noon, but today we're going to go to 1, okay, because, yeah. A couple of things I want to point out to you. Pastor Jacob has touched on it. We've noticed that it's getting more and more difficult to come to prayer, and I want to emphasize what he just said. This is a season of prayer. I just, I have an alarm set on my phone for what's going on in Iran, and there was just an announcement for the 7th American soldier who was killed. Now, our government, as Pastor Jacob points out, Pastor, I don't talk about politics a lot, but I want to tell you that there is a spiritual war that's been raging for centuries, and America for 47 years has been in a position to deal with a nation that is absolutely evil. And as Pastor Jacob used the term, kicked it down the street. And now all of a sudden, action is being taken. And the world is being split over it. You can, very clearly, you can see the voices that are crying out that what's going on is illegal. Yet you see the Iranian people around the world overjoyed with what's happening in their nation. For the first time in 50 years, they have the possibility of hope and peace and freedom to come. Now, the American church, struggling with its identity over being a Democrat or Republican, is, you know, it's about as crazy as you can be. I'm not asking anybody to be a Republican. I'm asking you to be on the side of Jesus. And I think that's exactly what Pastor Jacob said. And I don't consider that an arrogant statement. There is a righteousness that rings the ring out. America exists because somebody said, I'll pay the price. I'll do what's necessary to give a man, a woman, a family an opportunity to be free. Now, our forefathers have got it well written that America exists and will continue to exist because of an enlightened or a educated population that trusts in God. So here we are, a little church in Hawaii, and we're talking about this tomorrow morning. The cry for prayer is real. And it's a time to gather. I tell you, it's a gathering time. Our president says this war is going to go on. We don't know how long, but the pressure is going to increase. He's sworn not to send troops to Israel or not to send them to Iran. Who knows what the next steps are? There's already oil prices starting to rise. We're going to feel a pinch from this war. And it is a war. It's a war between light and darkness. I went over some of the history that got us to this place. And I just want to say this to you. President Obama, as Pastor Jacob pointed out, actually tried to bribe the Iranians with giving them a lot of money. And he made an agreement with them that they would not develop nuclear weapons. That was the agreement. But there was a clause that he agreed to take out of the agreement, and that was that there would not be a moratorium on the development of missiles. The delivery mechanisms for explosives and nuclear weapons. So Iran, over the last 16, 18 years, has gone from a nation that owned 300 missiles to a nation that owns over 2,000 missiles today. And we're right now in the battle of destroying the missiles that are going into all of the nations around them, along with those crazy unmanned vehicles that they have built, thousands and thousands of them, and they've got them in mountains. That's the battle that's being raised right now. America's decided to do it, dropping bombs on strategic targets. But you look at what's going on underneath all of that, and it's the Iranian people coming to Christ. You got to recognize the Holy Spirit's been crying out in the hearts of people. If you haven't heard some of the latest reports, there were over 60,000 Iranians killed in the last 6-8 weeks as they began to revolt against their own country. But the regime had killed them, and they continue to kill them. It's not slowing down on the streets, but they're still fighting. So the least we could do is continue to fight. The place we fight is in prayer. But I have another request for you, that not only that you pray with a new intensity and you draw an awareness to this. We can't let this period go by. This is really big. We are 4 weeks away from Resurrection Sunday. 4 weeks. I gotta say to you, a people with vision for what God is trying to do has got to recognize that there might be one or two young people who don't know Christ today who might become the John Wesley of the future. That's what missions is all about. It's reaching those that don't know him because we don't know what God is going to do in their lives. We just believe that there is hope and there's an opportunity for a changed life here, sure. But what's the spiritual changes? That somebody gets excited for Christ. Somebody says, I'll pay the price. I'm going to go. I'm going to do it. And decides to do what Wesley did. Ride 100+ thousand miles on a horse. doing little meetings, changing a nation. And now England exists, the UK exists, because he felt the burden. He didn't start out that way. He had a tough time. I recently was trying to complete a study on just his life. How far have you and I been called to serve him? That's a question you got to answer. I think that was part of what Pastor Jacob's asking too. But I want to make this suggestion to you. We're 4 weeks from Resurrection Sunday. Can you write down the names of three people you know that are not serving God today? Write the names down and start to pray that one of them, maybe two, maybe three, will come to church with you on that day. That they would come here and hear a gospel message about a resurrected Christ who transforms lives, who sets the world straight. Is it possible you know somebody that would be in a place that they're so open to hear what the Holy Spirit would say just because you invited them? I want you to start. Go home today. You and your spouse, sit down. Do we know anybody? Is there anybody that we could say, oh, they don't want to come? Is there anybody that maybe you don't know what God is saying to them right now? That there's a possibility, and all they need is an invitation. Look at this place. It's filled with a bunch of loving, encouraging people. And we serve a mighty God. Is it possible? Is it within reach of your own mentality that God could do something in somebody's heart that you think is impossible? That it won't be accomplished in your lifetime? Let's give him a chance. As we continue to pray for what's going on in Iran and for the protection of America, protection of Israel, protection of all those Arabian states that are surrounded by this crazy regime now, just firing rockets in these unmanned vehicles all over the place, just to kill people, just to kill. Come. Come here. Come here. I'm telling you, we're talking about our short-term missions trip. Is it possible that somebody could get saved in the next 3 weeks that would go on a short-term mission trip and then commit their life to Japan? Is it possible? Pat says, we got to pray for the underground church.
Yeah, well, the underground church in Iran, imagine when Iran's free. That church is coming above ground. They said there's over 1 million Christians underground right now. Can you see that? That when they're free, the church comes above ground? Oh,
come on, let's get some vision.
That's amazing.
Let's get riled
Whoa,
up.
Whoa, that is really something.
You know, Tony, and Teresa, I got to say this. Yeah, I fell into a six-hour study of the Mennonites the other day.
He did.
I went nuts so because I know nothing about the Mennonites. Anybody here a Mennonite? Praise the Lord. New York. I am just so blown away of the spiritual foundation that the Mennonites have in everything that we do. As a group of people, I won't tell you the whole story, but they decided after Calvin and the reformers and Zwingli in Sweden, they decided that they needed to make a decision to separate the church, separate themselves from the government. The church needed to be separated from the constraints, the coercion of government. And that's what their singular purpose was. It's a phenomenal story. Even to the point where God moved on them in such a way that segments of them came to America right as Azusa Street was happening in California. And they heard people praying in tongues like they had been praying in Russia. And they exploded in America. It's just the hand of God providentially on people who cry out for God. They had nicknames in Europe for the Mennonites. They were called the Jumpers. I think Tony started worship this morning. Come on, let's get excited for God. When was the last time you started jumping around worshiping God because you couldn't contain the joy?
But one thing that was interesting in that show that we watched was the Mennonites that didn't leave Germany like they were supposed to because God told them to go, and they didn't. They stayed there. They were the big supporters of Hitler. they were supporting Hitler. Their farms and different things, because they were very industrial, were building.
We're telling them too much, Sherry. Listen, I want to get back to Resurrection Sunday. I just wanted to tell you guys, the Mennonites have a great, great, great history in the move of God in Christianity since the Reformation. We hear about Calvin and all the other Europeans, but they were working within the Catholic system. And what we do today from a liturgy standpoint is still built around Catholicism. We carry much of it. The Mennonites separated from that. They separated. And the body of Christ exploded. So I just said, so much to study. I'm ready to start jumping. I'm ready. Come on. Okay, that's about as big as I can go. Ellen, don't start laughing at me. Look, I'm 50 years older than you, buddy. Okay, there was another one. Let's all rise. I challenge you today. I challenge you today. Go home, seriously. Write down the names of three people that you don't know the condition of their hearts. You don't know where they are. You're just wondering. And ask God to reveal to you that these three people need somebody to invite them to meet Jesus. That's the only thing for today. Next week, I'll give you a continuation of what I have on my heart for Resurrection Sunday. But this place is going to rock on Resurrection Sunday. And it's going to jump, yeah. We're going to jump together. It's time we worship Him with no inhibitions. It's time we let the world know we're happy to be followers of Jesus Christ. We are blessed people. We're people who are going to stand for righteousness. We're people that's going to stand loving other people, trying to encourage and try to care for those who are hurting and those who are away from Him. It's time. Let's pray. Father, we give thanks to You this morning for the message from Pastor Jacob. We know it was very timely, Lord, that these things come together in Your time. Even as we're preparing for short-term missions, we know it could be a lifeline of eternity for somebody, Lord. We might go for a week, but we could impact somebody's entire eternity because of what we asked to do. We thank You for James and those who are walking the streets, Lord, declaring Your goodness to the world. We pray, God, that we would be emissaries of Your love and Your courage as well. Touch each one of us. Give us three names, Lord, that we can write on a piece of paper and next week decide what You want us to do with those three names. Let our house be full of joy and hope and a resurrection spirit, Lord, that causes us to say, You're a great God. You are much bigger than anything we would ever face in this life. And we trust You and Your decisions for us. We give thanks to You for it all. Bring us back again at the appointed time, Lord, as You transform us from glory to glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Go in peace. Love you.